Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Massachusetts lawmakers are considering a bill that would ban cell phone use in cars unless the phone can be used hands-free. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says distracted driving, largely because of cell phones, causes 10% of fatal crashes. The National Safety Council puts the number much higher and estimates that cell phone use accounts for more than a quarter of car crashes. And yet, since 2011, numerous bills to curtail cell phone use in cars have stalled on Beacon Hill, even as 16 other states have enacted them. In a few minutes, we'll hear from parents whose daughter was hit and killed by a distracted driver who are pushing Massachusetts lawmakers to act now. But first, we want to revisit a conversation and demonstration we had back in 2015 about the dangers of distracted drivers and why Massachusetts has been so slow to embrace new safety laws.
Massachusetts, for some reason, we seem to wear being bad drivers as a badge of honor.
So this is Dan Strollo. He's the executive director of the In Control Family Foundation, a nonprofit trying to reduce the number of traffic deaths in the state, especially among teens who are particularly prone to the risks of distractions behind the wheel. Strollo is surprised, even frustrated, that Massachusetts has moved so slowly on this issue.
The reality is we were 50th place for seatbelt use in the state. So when it comes to driving, we don't take it seriously. We're a lot of really well-educated, smart people, and we have one of the worst crash rates in the country. And I'll say, I think people, as a society, we don't realize just how dangerous this stuff is.
Check one.
Yep.
All good.
The In Control Foundation runs driving classes in North Andover that, among other things, simulate just how deadly distractions like cell phones can be in a car.
Yeah, so when I say go, you can accelerate it as quickly as you want.
Okay.
When you reach the right speed.
So I'm behind the wheel with Kevin Stromsky, an instructor at In Control. In this drill, I speed up quickly to about 45 miles per hour and head straight toward a wall of plastic traffic cones. About 180 feet before the cones, a red light on my dashboard flashes, my signal to hit the brakes hard and avoid hitting the cones.
Keep going, keep going. Brake, 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 brake.
Not even close. Slammed right through those cones.
So that was just not getting that pedal down fast enough. You want to slam the brakes.
Slam it, okay, yeah.
So I failed. And the lesson, of course, is this. At high speeds, you cover a lot of ground quickly. 60 miles per hour is 90 feet per second. So a second or two of distraction can be catastrophic. When I try the drill again, I manage to stop in time, but just barely.
Hear the yellow cones, lights, brake.
Oh, baby.
Just in time.
Just in time.
Much better.
So it really took just about all of those 85 feet to stop.
Oh, yeah. Now we're going to give you an added challenge.
Okay.
Okay? And this is where we're going to start to see the dangers of a distraction.
In this next drill, I'll speed toward those cones, and then Kevin will hand me a calculator and ask me to key in my birthday. Seven digits, just like a phone number.
At any point while you're doing that, one of these lights are going to come on.
Okay.
And that's a kid running out into the road. So you want to hit the brake pedal as hard as you did.
Okay.
And we'll see the difference in what happens.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
Go ahead. Coast. All right. So a couple things happen. One, you're distracted enough that you forgot to coast.
Right.
What is your birthday?
It's 11/03.
All right, so we have 11/1.
Yep.
So we didn't get your birthday right. And then we didn't even hit the brakes nearly as hard as you did last time.
Right.
So a whole bunch of things were wrong there.
Yep.
Even though we just practiced doing it right.
Yep. I'll never text again. Not that I do. Not that I have. But I'm just saying.
That's what everyone says. But somehow it's still a problem.
Yeah. Hi, Dan.
How are you, Anthony?
Well, that was humbling.
I was going to say, so far you're a textbook example, then.
Again, this is Dan Strollo, the executive director of In Control. We're going to do one more drill about the dangers of distractions when you're following a car too closely. For this one, Dan is in the passenger seat and Kevin is driving another car, two car lengths ahead of me, but to the left. So when he suddenly stops, I should be able to stop my car before I pass his rear bumper, which would simulate a crash.
If you stop in time, that's no crash, of course. If you start to pass my rear bumper but stop before the middle of my car, we're going to call that what everyone loves to call a fender bender. Now, if you pass the middle of my car and stop before the front bumper of the car, we're going to call that an ambulance ride. Your car is totaled, my car is totaled, and obviously you're not feeling too good, you're off to the hospital. Now, if you pass the front bumper of my car, I like to call it a hearse ride. Worst case scenario.
All right.
So we're going to see how we do.
Kevin, we're ready. You can go ahead.
2, 1, go.
Floor it. Just keep the nose of the car up with that cone and stay off to the side like we are. Watch for his brake lights.
Okay. So not a hearse ride. Almost an ambulance ride, a pretty bad fender bender.
An everyday occurrence as far as our highways go.
We were traveling about 50 miles an hour, and even though I was ready for it, when Kevin slammed on his brakes, I had no way to stop without crashing into him. It's a lesson about keeping a safe distance on the highways and about potentially deadly consequences of distractions like cell phones. And it's why Dan Strollo favors a proposal to ban handheld phones in cars. But he says that doesn't go far enough.
I am one of these people who believes that even on the hands-free device, you should stay off of it. You know, your brain is thinking of other things, and how many of us have been on a hands-free device and missed our exit? But here's where the hands-free device really pays off for us is here in Massachusetts is it gives the police the ability to really say that person was texting. You know, right now, most of the time, I imagine if you got stopped and you were texting and driving, it's pretty easy for you to say, I was just dialing my phone. But I think this sort of legislation, if nothing else, it gives people the opportunity to think about just how dangerous this is. Any time we're talking about this stuff is incredibly valuable. I hope it passes, but then I hope we reconsider, like, do we even want people using hands-free devices?
So I have another question about the way we handle driving safety in this country. I've lived abroad, and I know, for example, in Europe, to get a driver's license, much more rigorous testing.
Oh my God, yeah.
And kids are routinely flunked the first 2 or 3 times when they try to get it. Doesn't happen here. Do you think that's a problem?
Yeah, I really do. I think, and again, this is a legislative matter. I'd love to see us take driver's education more seriously. I think the driving schools that exist out there are doing exactly what the state is asking of them for the most part. I mean, there's certainly some schools that could improve, but their goal is to get kids their license. In Massachusetts, when you take that driver's test, the driving time is somewhere between 3 to 5 minutes. Maybe on a weird day, it's 10 minutes of driving. Germany, you go to get your license, it's an hour behind the wheel. Estonia, not only is it an hour behind the wheel, but you have to go on highways, city streets, and then put the car in a skid and prove you can regain control before they'll give you a license. And even then, it's a temporary license. You got to come back and get a full permit once there's inclement weather that they can test you in. So very different societal attitude towards what goes into learning to be a better driver. Here, if you wait until you're 18, you don't even need to have any driver's ed. You can just show up and take the test and take it once a week or every, you know, couple of weeks until you pass. It isn't, you know, it's a numbers game.
Yeah, I think a good way to think about it, someone said to me years ago that when you get your license, it's a license to learn. It doesn't mean you know how to drive.
Exactly.
What explains that?
There's something about driving that it's a God-given right, and then I think as parents, we just look at it, and I can't tell you how many parents I've met who've had kids injured, you know, brain injuries where they've said, geez, I knew they were going to crash. I just never thought it would be this bad. And that's what it boils down to. Is
every parent's living nightmare.
It is. Yeah. And but we don't necessarily proactively. I mean, that part of what we're talking to parents about now is really modeling the right behavior. You know, once that car seat turns around, they're watching you. If you think you can talk on the phone or you can play around with things while you're driving or have, you know, high-speed situations or tailgating or whatever it is that you're doing, they're watching you. And the day they get their license, whether you've told them not to or not, they think they can.
I'm worried. One of the things I want to ask you about, Dan, is just how technologically evolved the dashboards are becoming in cars. I mean, we drive a car for WBUR. It's a very nice Subaru. It's got all kinds of safety measures. But there is so much information going on the dashboard that it concerns me, actually.
Where I start to struggle is what you're seeing on dashboards. I mean, for you to be able to update your Facebook page while you're driving is ludicrous and takes everything away from it. But even, you know, some of the display information, telling you additional information about the songs you're listening to, things that just distract your eye. In a perfect world, we're staying more engaged.
So that's Dan Strollo. He's the executive director of the In Control Family Foundation, a nonprofit trying to reduce the number of traffic deaths in Massachusetts. We spoke to him back in 2015. And joining us live now in the studio are Rich and Anna Cheshire-Levitan, who are urging state lawmakers here in the state to pass a bill that would prevent handheld cell phone use while driving. And here's why. Back in July 2013, their 18-year-old daughter, Merritt, a recent graduate of Milton Academy, was biking with a group in Arkansas when a vehicle struck her and several others in the group. The driver was texting when he hit the cyclist. Merritt was rushed to the hospital but died of her injuries the next day. So, Rich and Anna, thank you for coming in. Of course, I'm so sorry for your loss, but thank you for coming in and talking about this important subject, both of you.
Thank you for having us.
So, what gave you the motivation, first of all? I mean, I can only imagine how difficult that must have been for your family, but to turn your grief into this kind of activism. Let me start with, I don't know who wants to answer that, but go ahead, Anna.
Okay, I'll start. First of all, this was founded, Text Less, Live More, which is a national awareness campaign to end distracted driving, was founded by Merritt's classmates at Milton. So we actually followed their lead.
Wow.
They came together when they heard that Merritt had been killed by a distracted driver, and they thought, what can we do as the digital generation to examine our own use of phones and technology? And they came up with Text Less, Live More. And the very first event, Text Less, Live More event, was held at Milton Academy in September 2013, and the entire school and administration turned off their phone for the entire day.
Yeah. Can you bring us back to what we can understand about what happened that terrible day? Was this just a terrible case of someone not paying attention and just plowing into these people, including your daughter? Is that what happened?
That's exactly what happened. Young man, 21 years old, made a terrible mistake, awful consequences.
Yeah.
The road in Arkansas that Merritt was on with her group, 12 cyclists in total, was a long, straight country road, two lanes. I went to that road to see the scene of the accident. It was a mistake. It was an error in judgment. Mm-hmm. Wasn't against the law.
Yeah. I mean,
Arkansas.
What he was doing.
What he was doing was not against the law. He was using his phone. He was texting while he was driving. It was not against the law in Arkansas. But it has tragic consequences.
Right. Of course, there is a law in this state. You can't text while driving, but you can use the phone to make phone calls. Now, I understand that you both live in Georgia, where a law banning cell phones while driving just went into effect. Now you're turning your attention to Massachusetts. Tell me why.
We have a place here, too, as well, so we consider dual citizenship.
Sure.
We know that the fatality and crash rates are going down in the state of Georgia year to date. Even prior to it going into effect, there was a reduction 10%. That equals about 500 people. We just found out today that as of 4th of July weekend, that rose 13%. So we know that a handheld law will save lives and prevent crashes associated with distracted driving. Merritt was born in Boston at Brigham and Women's. She went to Milton Academy. Our entire life was spent in Massachusetts. So in the fifth year anniversary of our tragic loss, it's very fitting for us to come and tell our story.
You know, when I first had that conversation with Dan Strollo about distracted driving, it was back in 2015. And back then, the legislature was considering a piece of legislation that would ban driving while holding a cell phone. And that got bogged down. It didn't pass. A number of bills have gotten bogged down over the years here in Massachusetts. Why? Because this seems like common sense to me. But why? What's? Can you, as folks who have followed this for obvious reasons, why is it so hard to pass this? Any ideas?
It's hard to understand why Massachusetts has such a difficult time with this piece of legislation. If you look at the other New England states, all but Maine and Massachusetts have hands-free laws. Yeah. Rhode Island's went into effect on June 1. To the best of our understanding, at least in 2018, it's all about prioritization. You know, granted, there are a lot of things that our state legislators need to consider on an annual basis. Why hands-free legislation is not near the top of the list. That's why we're here.
Yeah, right. So plain and simple, what's your message to state legislators?
Bring it to a vote.
Bring it to a vote.
It's what Massachusetts wants. 74% of Massachusetts voters support hands-free legislation. And according to a 2017 AAA poll, distracted driving ranks number one in terms of the top three concerns for Massachusetts drivers. It's what the people want.
Well, let me bring in a state representative who's good enough to join us today, State Representative Byron Rushing of Boston. Thank you for joining us. I think we've got you on the line right now.
Yes, I'm here.
I really appreciate it. Now, I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you did have some concerns about the bill at the beginning. Tell me how you've been listening to this conversation. Do you support it at this point?
The question that is before us, who are concerned about police behavior. Hmm. So we have an ongoing question around police behavior in traffic stops, and that there is a disproportionate amount of stops and follow-up action based on race, what we usually call racial profiling.
Right.
And we have taken a position. Those of us who support ending racial profiling have taken a position several years ago in the Massachusetts legislature that we would not support any primary enforcement by police until that primary enforcement was directly connected to ending and making illegal racial profiling by Massachusetts police.
Right.
And that first focused on the issue of seatbelt enforcement. And right now, Massachusetts does not have primary enforcement of seatbelt irregularities, and because we cannot get the support of the police across the state. To combine that with strong anti-racial profiling provisions.
So
now, that was a position most I think Massachusetts legislators supported. But I have to be honest, there were certainly legislators who supported that who didn't think it was going to happen and didn't support. Private enforcement anyway, but that's how legislatures work.
So where are we today? I mean, with this particular piece of legislation, have your concerns been satisfied?
My concerns have begun to be satisfied.
Right.
Let me say this. I really appreciate the fact that several weeks ago, Rich and Anna reached out to me when they heard of my concerns.
Thank you, Byron.
Hi.
We love you.
So they called me, and I was able to hear their tragic story of the loss of their daughter. And I'm telling you what I told them.
Yeah.
That racial profiling is a serious both public safety problem in this state, but people need to understand that for the people who are affected by it, it is also a public health problem. I mean,
Representative Rushing, I get that. I just want to. Right. I've been dying to ask a question.
So now,
let me just ask this question, and I want you to continue. But the question that I've been puzzled by, and I'm sure there's a clear answer here, is why are these two things linked? In other words, why can't we pass legislation outlawing racial profiling and pass legislation that just says you can't drive while holding a cell phone because it's dangerous?
We could do both of those things if both of those things happened at the same time. And now the Senate, and so what happened in the state Senate was that when racial profiling came before the state Senate. When distracted driving came before the state Senate, there was no mention in the committee's bill about racial profiling. And on the floor of the Senate, during the debate, an amendment was made and passed, including important language toward ending racial profiling in traffic stops.
I see.
And I support that language.
Hmm. Perfect.
And so we're at the point where if this bill came before us with that language, then I can support this bill.
Okay.
If this bill, and if in some convoluted way this bill came to the House without that language, I would put in an amendment just like certain senators put in an amendment on the Senate side.
Representative Rushing, stick with us. I want to just ask Anna and Rich if they're, are you satisfied with what you're hearing? Does it sound to you like Beacon Hill is getting closer to what you want?
We're very hopeful, and thank you, Byron, so much. We had a wonderful conversation, and personally, we are on your side. We never want racial profiling anywhere, and personally, I've worked very hard towards that with certain initiatives in my own life.
Right, and I learned a lot about that.
Yes. So, we're going to look for your support, Byron. We don't want people to be profiled, at all, but we also want to save lives. And we, like you, believe we can get both, and we just hope that everyone works together before the 31st, July 31st, when it ends, to put it to a vote with a language that you feel comfortable with. We'll feel comfortable with it. You know, racial profiling will go down, God willing, and fatalities will go down. Mm. And that's our whole platform right now.
Yes, Representative Rushing, I gather there's a bit of a legislative deadline here at the end of the month. I mean, if you were to sort of place odds on this, what are the odds that this will happen?
I try not to do that.
A good answer. I would have expected nothing less.
Gambling, but I try not to do that. All I can say is we have made those who believe that racial profiling language should be in this bill have made our position clear, and we are like people outside of the legislature trying to get this bill come before us before the end of July.
Awesome.
All right. Well, Representative Rushing, Byron Rushing of Boston, thank you so much for joining us today.
We're
very, very grateful.
Thank you both.
You'll be hearing from us.
I know that.
All right. Representative Byron Rushing joining us there. So let me just ask you both, Anna and Rich, about the penalty. So the law would include a $100 fine for the first offense, $250 for the second, for the third, $500 fine plus an insurance surcharge. Is that enough to deter someone from using their phone while driving?
It's better than nothing.
Yeah.
It's a good start. What we've seen in Georgia is the awareness of the issue, which was raised when that piece of legislation was passed on May 1st, as Anna shared, has led to a significant decrease in fatalities on the roads of Georgia.
Right.
The fines in Georgia, I believe, are less than the fines you just quoted for the legislation that's in front of the House.
Okay.
So is it enough? It's enough. It'll create a significant amount of awareness when this legislation gets passed before the end of July. People know it's an issue. Most people acknowledge
you can't miss
it's an
it.
Issue.
I mean, you see people driving by all the time.
Right.
Looking at their phones.
Right.
Whether you're
in a car
or on
you're
a bike or standing on the side of the road.
Right. Walking across the street. You have to be aware.
Okay. Rich and Anna Cheshire Levitan lost their daughter Merritt 5 years ago when she was struck by a distracted driver. They're now advocates against distracted driving. There's going to be a rally at the State House on Wednesday to push for passage of this bill. Thank you both so much for coming
in.
We're very grateful.
At 12:30.
At 12:30.
Thank you.
Okay. That's it. Stay with us. This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. We'll be right back.